Hello friends, greetings of the day. Hopefully you have gone through the earlier chapters. I am going to start a new chapter, which is civil and utilities management. The word itself implies civil. That means everything got to do with not the armies, definitely. Everything got to do with other residents of the nation. Utilities basically is electricity, water, and all other facilities provided by the local administration, which is the municipal corporation, Gram Panchayat, Zilla Parishad, or whatever you want to call it. Let's see exactly what we have here in this chapter. So, as I was saying earlier, civil relating to citizens or interlatings with one another, right? Utilities, as I said earlier, electricity, natural gas, water, sewage, you know, provided by the organization, consumed by the employees. Here we are talking about employees, but definitely it utilities is a very broader term. It can be correlated to many things. So, administration, as I was trying to emphasize here, whoever looks after these utilities, right, is required that he knows about those utilities, how they are supposed to be operated, how they are supposed to be maintained, okay? And all utilities basically are interrelated. If you see the electricity grid, it is interrelated to many things. It could be a thermal power plant, it could be a nuclear power plant, it could be a hydro power plant, then the grid itself and the entire inter alia related with it, right? So this is very, very basic definition of what we are trying to explain here, right? So now we were talking of power and electricity. So you must have experienced that either it is residential or commercial, you need to have certain approvals in place, right? Certain plans which need to be submitted to the local administrator, that is the municipal or Zilla Parishad, Gram Panchayat, or whatever it is, to get approvals for a transformer. And DG sets. For the non-technical guys, electricity is generally transferred from a power station to a transformer in something called as a DC current or direct current, and the transformer then converts it from DC to AC or alternating current. DG sets, the full form is diesel generator. So basically you have a generator which it's like an engine, right? In a car you have an engine and then there is a dynamo which generates the electricity required for the other thing. It also generates electricity to charge your battery, right? Then as you are utilizing electricity, definitely there will be a meter reading it. You will have to do annual inspections of all the electrical equipments, your panels, your breakers, everything. Then definitely you should, keeping in mind today's green revolution, you should keep in mind that there is no wastage, right? Electricity is used effectively, efficiently, and not wasted. Okay, there will be a lot of display boards for safety. We had covered that earlier in EHS chapter. Those should be there about danger or keep away or something like a description of what it is, whether it is a 22 kVA installation, 220 kVA installation, and all those stuff. It is mandatory that you observe safety measures. All equipments, whether it is a transformer, whether it is an overhead wire, whether it is a main panel, sub panel, lighting panel, AC panel, you have to ensure that you observe electrical safety measures. Electrical safety measures in itself is a very broader base, okay, to keep it like if there is a transformer, it should be barricaded. Not everybody should be allowed to go there. If it's a panel, it should be properly covered. It can't be in a place where there's water dripping, right? The panel should have all the markings saying all these things. Now, here we are talking about fixing ELCB. Now, for non-technical people, ELCB is, the full form is earth leakage circuit breaker. Okay, if you have a smart home, normally all developers nowadays they put something called as a smaller breaker, which you see. Earlier you used to have for geysers or water heaters. That was MCB. Okay, it is called miniature circuit breaker. Then there is something called as MCCB, that is model case circuit breakers. Depending upon the capacity of current it is monitoring, it depends. So ELCB is typically required when suppose there is a short circuit, okay, to prevent further fire and damage. ELCB is there, which trips the current, right? Now other thing is removing loose wires, broken switchboards and old equipment. So if you feel that there are, if you see, when you see a panel, it should be neat, right? It should, all insulation should be proper. There should not be things hanging over here and there. There should not be loose wire just lying here and there. All cables should be properly tied to some support. Those are called cable ties, right? And if there is any old equipment which is not used, then it should be removed from that place. Then you need to carry energy saving, energy audit, right? So energy saving is typically, as you know, earlier we used to use sodium vapor lamp or sulfur vapor lamp, right? Then we moved out to something called a CFL, okay, a fluorescent light, okay, a compost fluorescent light. Then we moved, now we moved to LED, which is which the full form is light emitting diode. Now they give the same amount of light, but they consume lesser energy. So input is less, but output remains the same. In some cases, the input is less and the output is more, right? If you put three bulbs next to each other, the amount of light given by a vapor lamp, CFL and LED, and then if you see the energy which is consumed to give the same amount of light, it is much lesser. Now energy audit. Energy audit is seeing that whether your equipments are performing optimally, whether they need some maintenance, there is some part which is broken. Okay. And when you do energy audit, there is a very exhaustive list of audits which is done. You see whether there is a heating of equipment, whether there is some leakage. So it's, but energy audit is basically to see that if you have input of electricity coming, the output is most efficient, right? It is used properly. There is no wastage of electricity. When you are doing all these things, you need to have a certain structure in place. So, you know, there has to be a daily monitoring. If you see in offices or equipment, there are people who go there, take meter readings. They check everything is on, off, or whatever it is. They'll check whether the panels are proper, there are no loose wires, there is not some wire where the insulation has broken, or some nut which is loose, or something like that. All the lights are glowing properly. So there are many things which should do. And these checklists are categorized ABC checks. We'll come to that in the next slide. Right? Now we have water supply and treatment. So definitely all of us, whether it is residential, commercial or industrial, we use water, right? So then definitely water is supplied by the local administration, whether it is municipal, Gram Panchayat, ZP or anything, right? Any other administrative body. So they definitely, so they will give you water to a certain point, and from there you have to pump it to different buildings, facilities or industries. Then there are different pumps which come to it, right? So it's called duty pump or the main pump. Jockey is typically used as something which further increases the pressure inside, which is driven by the main pump or the duty pump. There is also something called as a booster pump, which is used when the pipeline is long and you need to further amplify the pressure or the flow of the water, right? And then definitely there is a standby pump for fire hydrants, or there could be even standby pump for the supply if you have a continuous operation. So all these standby pumps will be working on diesel, right? Because all duty pump, jockey pump, booster pumps, they'll be all working on electricity. Suppose there is a power failure, right? Whether you have a DG, you don't have a DG, or there is some issue somewhere where the power cannot be supplied to this thing, then you definitely have a standby pump, which is a diesel pump for hydrants. Now, there are different levels of quality of water defined by WHO, that is World Health Organization. When you use industrial water and when you use domestic water, or it could be called potable water or drinkable water, there are different levels, because water as air has got oxygen, nitrogen and lot of other hydrogen, carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide. Similarly, water also has got different salts and minerals in it. It is defined by something called as TDH, tardiness. So that is, those levels and everything are mentioned by WHO, and you have to ensure that the water is tested so that there is no arsenic, lead or other impurities which could be harmful for consumption by humans, or even when you are using it in processes, it should be well defined. Now, you definitely, as you have an electrical meter for electricity, you also need to have a meter for water consumption. When you are getting 100 liters or 100 million liters of water, 100 kiloliters of water, or whatever we think, how it is used, whether there is some leakage somewhere, right? So definitely it should be at the source and also at the destination. So in between, while the water is being transferred from the source to the destination, is there some leakage, right? So if the input is 100, output at the output level where you are using it for machines or whatever it is it the same? Okay, you have to yourself set a tolerance limit of say 2%, 3%, 5%. I don't think so, it should be more than 5%, right? Transmission losses you may consider. So that water consumption monitoring is necessary, so you are aware that how it is actually used, right? Now, there are some industries or some places where the you need to process the water. Where there are some places, suppose you are using the water in food industries, where food products are manufactured, there is a certain quality of water which is required. So there is purification process, osmosis process, it is also called as RO, which is reverse osmosis, there is filtration. So there are a lot of things which are required. So you should be very well aware of the utility or the equipment which is doing the RO or which is doing the filtration or removal of salts or whatever is functioning very well, right? Then definitely, you need to have water for firefighting, right? And because it will help you safeguard in case of an untoward incident. Now, there is a law which is given by many states and many governments and many such authorities that whenever you get water, the water should first flow into the fire tank. The fire tank outflow should go into, or overflow should go into the domestic tank, right? And then that other overflow, the domestic tank's overflow, should go into the flushing tank, right? Okay, but there are some places where the process water after in industries, after the water is used for processing of certain things, whether it is washing or cleaning or used for boilers or whatever, that then goes to some purification process. So that process water purified can be used for rainwater. So rainwater need not, the fire water should not be a quality of being potable, right? It's basically used to douse water. It's not there for human consumption. So the quality levels of the water are actually different. Rainwater harvesting. Now, you yourself as the administrator of a facility or a factory, office or any establishment, first of all should ensure that there is no wastage, right? As you always say that penny saved is penny earned. Similarly, water saved is what water you exactly can be used for something else, right? You get a free supply of water during the monsoon. If you can come up with an idea or a concept where the rainwater can be stored in underground tanks or overhead tanks, right? So any establishment will have a roof, right? If the roof is cleared, the rainwater from the overhead lines of the roof can be stored into the underground tanks or overhead tanks, and that can be used for if you have gardening, it can be used for the fire tank, it can be used for washing, not necessarily that it can be used for processes, but it can be used for many other things, can be used for flushing directly. So these are some places where you don't need to process water, so that if you have some supply of water coming from this municipal thing, you can utilize it for more specific purposes, and these other ancillary purposes you can use the rainwater harvester. Okay, now the other part nowadays it's the need that the temperatures which are rising across, you need air conditioning so that the temperatures are under a controlled level, right? So normally you have to ensure that the ACs are maintained properly, whether it's a central AC. So central AC, I'm talking about a chiller plant, right? It can be air cooled chiller, water cooled chiller. So these are huge things, right? In your house you have AC which is 1 ton, 1.5 ton, 2 ton, or at the most say 4 ton max, right? But for industries, facilities, offices, the tonnage goes into thousands, right? Huge things. So then you need to have that central plant which is properly managed. If you have a dedicated AC for a cabin or a boardroom or a meeting room, it can be a window or a split AC which you've seen in your day-to-day residential operations, right? Now, monitoring safety and maintenance of elevators by filling out the checklist. As I said earlier, that all equipments, the OEM, which is the original equipment manufacturer, gives you some do's and don'ts, gives you some basic checks, right? So it is necessary that the technical team of that facility, office or industry does a day-to-day check and maintains the logbook provided by the manufacturer. Okay, so it is necessary that you do a regular check, as we humans do annual checkup or half yearly checkup, you know, blood test and all that stuff or whatever it is. Similarly, all equipments also need to be checked on a regular basis. Now, property management. Property management is a very broader term. Okay, in terms of real estate, there are two nomenclatures used. One is called as property management, other is called as facility management. So property management is basically the surrounding or the entire complex as such, and facility management can be termed as a office or a particular section on that huge property, right? So it is necessary that in property management, the administration department takes care not only about the utilities but also the other aspect, cleanliness, upkeep of the premises, property, right? Property management is also in very broader terms used for maintenance of personal property or equipment, as mentioned here, assets which are in the office, industry, you know, ensure that they are maintained in a proper manner and there is no misuse of it, right? Now, a property management as administration has got certain system processes in place to ensure that the facility is maintained to the highest standards. The machines, equipments or any other utilities within that facility, property are maintained to the highest level so that the uptime there are no proper, there are no regular power outages, water supply, water lines are properly maintained, they are effectively used, there is no wastage of electricity, water and everything. And whilst doing all these documentation, process, systems and manpower, you have to ensure that they are maintained properly, someone is responsible for it, their utilization is judicious, okay, there is some control over it. If you need to change something, then you have the ability, power and authority to acquire certain things, right? And if old things needs to be given away, then disposition. So all the definitions, which is acquisition, control, accountability, responsibility, maintenance, utilization and disposition, is covered. Fair enough. Now let's move ahead. Now as we say, civil utilities, right? So the governing body who is providing you those facilities or benefits, right, is to be informed. Suppose you have a commercial complex where you get electricity from the grid, there is a transformer there, or there is a water supply line which is here, right, and then you need to carry anything within your premises. It doesn't mean that you own the premises, you can do whatever you want. Whilst you doing that maintenance or repairs or upkeep or whatever it is, if there is a possibility of something happening, then you have to inform. Suppose you are doing a major shutdown of the industry, right? Then definitely you have to inform the power board so they can isolate the transformer, right? Or if you are doing major repairs of your water lines, definitely then you have to inform them that they could shut off the valve or isolate the water valve. If you have gas coming into your premises, then you need to inform the gas authority saying that we are going to perform maintenance on certain section of the property or whatever, and they can isolate it, right? So there is no wastage or there is no untoward incident happening, right? There is a proper process of maintenance which is supposed to be carried. There is a proper documentation which has to be done, planned preventive maintenance or predictive maintenance. Whilst doing that, all these things get covered, right? Now, whenever somebody needs to carry some repairs, in case you are doing major changes in the facility, factory, industry, residential, and there is a deviation from the plan which was approved. So let me say, if there is a wall or there is a barricade which needs to be repaired or there are some changes in it, okay, so whoever has given you the authority on doing that work or have signed off on your plans, that department has to be informed. Normally any corporation, there is a department of development, right, within the ward. That department has to be informed. Then there is a structural department, there is PWD, that is Public Works Department, which takes control of electricity, water, all these things, right? Sewage lines. So all those people have to be informed. If you are changing the route of the water line inside, then definitely you have to inform the water department. If you are making some major changes in the electrical distribution system, then definitely you have to inform the electricity board or the electrical department of that particular ward, city, office, state or whatever it is. Now, whenever you are doing any changes, right, there is a certain process which is laid down by the governing authorities, whether it is a municipal corporation, gram panchayat, zilla parishad, okay, state department, forest department, whoever it is. You have to fill up their forms, okay, you have to clearly maintain a documentation that this is the plan which was approved, these are the changes which we are going to do, hence we require these approvals, right? So all these other departments are there. Other thing, if your building is a heritage building, right, there are different grades. So a heritage building is all buildings which were built before independence or just after independence. Broadly it is defined as 50s or 60s, 1950s or 60s, then those buildings fall under the heritage society. So if you are doing certain changes, then definitely the heritage committee has to be informed. They give you the do's and don'ts which can be done. And all those plans, everything have to be signed off by an architect. If there is a electrical thing or technical thing, it has to be signed off by the approved electrical contractor, right? Or fire contractor, and then it has to go to the governing body of that area, whether it is a municipal corporation, gram panchayat, or zilla parishad, right? And then once they give you the go ahead, then you can go ahead with your repairs or modifications or whatever you want to carry out within your premises. Now there are different types of works and repairs: plumbing, painting, patchwork, recoating, your carpentry, your civil works, which we covered earlier. You could have simple like upholstery repairs. Now upholstery repairs is like your seat covers, sofa covers, couch covers, you know, typically that is what it is. And definitely you need to do a maintenance of the firefighting equipment. Okay, you have fire alarm, you have got fire extinguisher, smoke detector, sprinkler. So firefighting equipment is broadly categorized into two things. One is the detection and other is the fighting. So detection is fire alarms, you know, smoke detectors. They will definitely identify and give you an alarm that there is a smoke here, right? Then you can get into action and use the firefighting equipment to douse that fire, right? So, and then definitely there are fire extinguishers and the sprinklers which will help you douse the fire. But the alarms and the smoke detectors will help you identify, right? Now you can't have eyes everywhere, you can't have manpower everywhere, but definitely the alarms and the smoke detectors will help you identify in the farthest corners of your office, industry, factory, residential, commercial complex that yes, there is an issue here or there is a fire here.